sister with the jam so we can
shake it, shake it,
shake it, shake it now, shake it, 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 shake it now, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it.
All right, that was Wake the Town from Book of Changes. Rocky Dawuni in here in the studio with me. And one thing I'm curious about, obviously on this album there's a lot of, you know, you're bringing a lot of your African roots and indigenous instruments into this. But being there in Ghana and growing up, how was it that you grew towards reggae, into being, you know, a reggae musician? How did that happen?
Well, first of all, I mean, that could be traced first to my background. I grew up in a military barracks. My dad was in the army, was in the cook in the army. And around the time I was growing too, it just happens that Ghanaian military too were very active in politics, you know, because Ghana has had like successive military coups, and they've had rulers who've been from the army, you know. So growing up, I witnessed so many different changes of government just within my local, you know, just being a military kid. I mean, you hear that, you know, that, okay, the generals are in power or the other ranks have taken power. There's just all these changes. And so within that environment, there was a lot of really political talk all the time. You know, the soldiers were very political because they were in charge of, they were stewards of that aspect of Ghanaian society. You know, so I grew up within that environment, you know, and growing up, I also realized that, okay, you know, as a youth too, I was looking for, you know, media of expression, you know, because I wasn't really happy with, you know, the kind of the governance of the country and also the direction in terms of our society really straying too far from the ideals of some of our founding fathers who were really interested in a unification of the continent, you know. And I believe that every African government should be focused primarily on achieving that, because once that is achieved, then all the huge small problems can be solved, because it's through unity that we can find the numbers and the strength. And at that time, reggae music was a very good attraction to me because it was an already tried and tested form of music from Jamaica that was used to articulate the visions and aspirations of poor people and downtrodden people around the world. You know, so it became like an, shall I say, an almost fitting shoe for me. You know, so it was a very good jump start for me. And then at the time, too, I was also being exposed to, you know, Afrobeat, you know, fellas Afrobeat and all that. So it, but reggae was the initial music that I really embraced, and then the Afro was also part of it, but it was kind of growing because I was trying to figure out a kind of a crossing point where these two forms and two expressions of rhythmic Africa and the diaspora intersected, you know what I mean? Because I believe that that's where I came, you know, I am creating the third path that brings both sides into one uniform, strong, you know, conquering rhythm.
It's a really interesting phenomenon, and to me, in my own mind, a really beautiful thing to see how people that from Africa that were brought to the Americas, obviously, and the whole thing against their will and being separated and cut off, but, you know, people like those in Jamaica who have gone back looking for those roots, and you end up having somebody like Bob Marley that, to me, in my mind, in many ways is, as you said, articulated that idea and was something of a spiritual unifier for the continent of Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
But who did not grow up in Africa, which, you know, obviously that coming back to you as an influence.
Yes, you know, the thing is, you know, it's the same, it's different sides of the same coin, you know what I mean? So it's like, if it's, you know, anybody who knows and understands, believes, you know, or should I say, who knows and overstands, you know, realizes that, you know, whatever Bob Marley was doing was not far off in terms of what was going on in Africa, because in the long run, it's just the urge of the two parts to unite.
Yeah.
There needs to be some form of resolution. You know what I mean? Slavery cannot be resolved by, you know, and the pains of slavery and the pains of, you know, Africa's, shall I say, colonization could not be resolved by basically, you know, rhetoric of people or intentions of people. Okay, you know, hey, you know, the Africans, you know, who live here, African-Americans, you know, maybe integrating into American society. Great, there could be that integration, but that integration could never be whole if there's no recognition of their roots and if they don't plug directly to their roots. Because if even you go to maybe the Armenian Americans, or should I say Mexican Americans, there is a certain greatness of them integrating here very well, because there is a mass of their people somewhere who form an extension of themselves and also guarantee their power and place here. You know, as you know, even within the white American, you know, you have the Italian Americans, and there's all those, there's all those, should I say, ancestral links, you know. So I believe that for the strength of Africa, or the strength of the African-American, or the strength of the African living in Brazil to be fully realized, not in terms of fully realized as against other race, but the thing is that once it's fully realized, it will be to the benefit of all men, because then they can really be able to express themselves. And as custodians of the origins of man, there needs to be the restoration of that early know-how for the benefit of humanity in general. You know, so I believe that for that to happen, there needs to be the resolution, and the resolution will be as a result of a certain repatriation. Physically, in terms of knowledge, in terms of spirituality, in terms of, financial responsibility, in terms of political responsibility, because without that, it would just be two parts just walking around in the wilderness without a vision. And the visions, regardless of how great they are on each part, will be a vision without the ability to master all its strength to make that vision be realized. You know, so for me, every vision could be had, but in the long run, there requires to be that unification of Africa, and that unification of Africa with itself, that is within itself and without the diaspora, for that to happen. And that's for the benefit of all mankind. Yes, I am.
Are there... is that an idea that you think a lot of people in Ghana share?
It's an idea that I think, you know, was the vision of some of the early fathers, you know, Kwame Nkrumah. You know, Ghana was the first black African country to be independent. You know, and when they came in power, one of the main things they talked about was to be able to use the independence of Ghana to liberate the continent of Africa. You know, so his vision wasn't really to develop Ghana as a, you know, a colonial bounded country, but to develop, to use it as a sacrificial lamb for the independent movements in all the different parts of Africa. And that was the reason why, you know, like the, all the independent movements were able to, gain their independence. You know, it was through Ghana's sacrifice. But now, you know, we don't have leaders who have that kind of vision, because a lot of them kind of resigned to the whole thing of really being able, from years of colonialism and also, poverty and, you know, debt, you know, crashing debts, and also not being able to, because every, you know, most African governments are using their gross national products to, for debt servicing. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's none, there's nothing left for them to use for development. And that is also compounded by the corruption, too, the rampant corruption of most of our governments, too, you know, who basically believe that the only way forward is to keep taking more loans, mm-hmm. you know, without realizing that the only way forward is to really inspire people. Because when you inspire people, there's no other material wealth or wealth that can be comparable to that. What can come out, what people can really be able to do. People inspired is a people with the power of God, you know. So for me, you know, that vision is still within people. But the powers that be right now are selling a certain utopia, you know, which is about, you know, just let's have fun right now when we have all these things that are really threatening our survival and our vision as in our direction as a people to be able to kind of really get ourselves together so that we can play a very fundamental role in helping the world realize its ultimate destiny. You know, so it is, I believe that, you know, I wouldn't say importance, but my mission in terms of my music, in terms of what I do, is that I am out here also bringing that information to anybody who has the concept of Africa at heart, because in the concept of Africa is humanity.
Yeah.
So whether you're white, you're black, you're any form, you have to realize that, you know, the only thing that can help humanity is that if all its parts and all different aspects of the human race, you know, are have their political, you know, equality, there's equity. Mm-hmm. In terms of politics, and then also there's fairness, you know, that we can really be able to create that world that we've all been craving within. But it's been kind of a fleeting dream for all these years, you know. So I believe that it is within us. It's just the manifestation that is taking a lot of time.
Well, it's manifesting itself in many places, I think, you know.
Yes, I.
It's in this room right now.
Yes, I. Yes, I. Yes, I. Yes, I. Yes, I.
Speaking about some of the things on the album, looking through the liner notes, I see that you've got some work on here. Saul Williams helped you out.
Yes, yes, yes.
DJ Drez, and I know there's one more that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, DJ Drez, there's, the drummer was actually Manas Itene from Spearhead.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the drummer for the project. And then the bassist was Ronnie McQueen from the original bassist for Steel Pulse.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it was a very beautiful fusion, you know, of ancient with a future to create the strong present, you know. And Saul's piece too on the Book of Changes was a very, you know, beautiful poetry, you know, to complement, you know, the words, you know, the really simplistic words of impending global change that can only come through the works and initiations of very righteous people, because we all strive for righteousness. You know, even the bad man wants protection from bad people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even the worst government or the worst thief, when he's caught, he wants justice. You know, but he doesn't think of justice. People who perpetuate genocide, when they're caught, they want justice to be on their part, you know, to save them and kind of hear their part of story. So in our heart, everybody is craving for that righteousness. So why don't we all be righteous? You know what I mean? Why does another man have to deal with another man with that equity? Why does another man have to oppress another man? Why does another man have to exploit another man? You know, we are capable of it. You know, it's just that, you know, we don't, you know, sometimes we accept the status quo and we believe that the world that needs to be created has already been created and we just live in it. But, you know, if we are chip blocks of the Creator. We are creators when we are creating our universe every day and every time.
Absolutely.
Yes, I am. So if we want that beautiful world that every man shall, you know, wake up and it will be, you know, this incredible utopia that we all hope,
yeah,
man, we have it within us, you know. Let's do it right now. Yes, I am.
But one thing with the musically, I'm curious about. I mean, it sounds like you put some of the right people together for this album.
Yes, sir.
With the African instrumentation, was that something that was done here in Los Angeles, or did you have to go to Ghana to do that?
Oh, I did it in Ghana. You know, what I did was that I did the initial drum and bass, you know, here, and then I went to Ghana because, you know, I mean, that's my homeland, and most of the spirit of the music, you know, it's there,
yeah,
you know. So a lot of the players too basically can express, you know, because music is spirituality to some extent, you know what I mean. So sometimes it's just a matter of really being within the right context to really tap into the right energies, you know. So I think for the first incursion into this whole sound of mixing, you know, hip-hop with African music and reggae and Afrobeat, which I call Afro roots, you know, some of the things need to be done within dear right geographical context, you know.
Yeah.
So I work with some great, you know, the drums, like Wig the Town, and the person who did all the drums, you know, is you know, his name is Krantin, you know, who actually worked on, you know, was part of the Africa 70, was the percussions for a lot of Africa fellas, Africa 70, and also was also responsible for bringing the concept of the choreographed dances, mm-hmm, to fellas band, because he came off as a dancer in Ghana. And then fellas music was also, Afrobeat was a fusion of highlife, jazz, and James Brown,
mm-hmm,
funk, you know what I mean. So it's you know, just as Afro roots is also, you know, coming off as a fusion of Afrobeat, so you can trace it to James Brown. And then, you know, reggae music, as it's played in the diaspora, traditional African music and American soul, you know what I mean, with the same political content and spiritual content, because it's still the same. It's just the vehicle and the vessel of dissemination that has been updated for the modern times.
Well, let me ask you, that leads me into asking you, you do a lot of work with Jeremy Soul. You're involved with Afrofunky.
Yes.
And that's,
yes,
actually how I came to meet you, was through,
yes,
Jeremy.
Yes, yes, yes,
you,
yes,
know, and speaking of that, there's a lot of that type of fusion that's happening right now. And,
yes, yes, yes.
You know, I talk with different people on different ends of it, and, you know, it's like, where is it coming from? I mean, I know that we need it.
Yes, you know, know, every, shall I say, you know, every revolution starts with one word or one beat or one groove. You know what I mean? Once everybody can get into that groove, that's the revolution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes revolution, you know, like, and a groove is language. You know, and a language at some time, before that language can be popular, that language has to organically grow.
Yeah.
It has to grow organically for a long time to prepare the way, so that when that one groove comes, there's already the, you know, the underlying platform has already been created.
Right.
So right now, with the popularity of Afrobeat, the popularity of reggae music, I mean, through Bob Marley, the popularity of Fela and all that kind of stuff, sets itself for what we're bringing right now, which is the Afro Roots Revolution. And the Afro Roots Revolution is all about, you know, creating the new, funky, and yet Africanized and radicalized, you know, beat that is steeped in really, shall I say, great intention of, you know, masters who express third world rhythmic music like no other, to recreate the new future that embodies all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we can, with the advent of the internet age, and you know, no society can consider itself in isolation, you know. But I talk of Africa because black people need to get their stuff together. They need to get it together, because they, in every part when history turns, you know, we end up paying the price. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm, they need to get their stuff together so that they can be that strong block as other races are organizing themselves, so that, you know, every, there could be that very great fusion. Because before you make soup, you need very good ingredients, and every ingredient on itself has to be the best, you know what I mean, so that when you cut everything and you bring it together, you have the power of it all, you know what I mean. So,
well, when you're talking about Afro roots and all and that, you know, and the way that, you know, these fusions are happening now, reggae and Afrobeat and all of this, really you're getting into the basis of all of the music that's come out of the Americas, all of the popular music of the last 100 years, and not to mention all the traditional music that goes back further than that from the Americas, is all got connection to that.
Yes, we are. You know, I live here. You know, I've been living here a lot, and you know, like Los Angeles in America has played such a key role in terms of my even appreciating what I had at home. You know what I mean? America provides the environment of really constant change and innovation. You know what I mean? Where, you know, societies like Africa, a lot of times we have traditions. You know, and traditions, a lot of times you got to work within traditions. You know, so the thing is that what Afro Roots is embodying something that is just has no home, but it's for everybody.
Yeah.
But its roots have to be expressed by where, you know, we all came from. And that is the roots of mankind, and that is Africa.
Well, I think that all of us that are living in the Americas owe a great deal of indebtedness to Africa just for that. I mean, if you talk about what is the great art that American society has produced, and I think most people would agree that the greatest thing that we've created here in the United States has been jazz music.
Yeah.
But what is jazz music? It's African music played with European instruments.
Exactly.
But if there wasn't that African origin, there wouldn't be jazz.
Yes.
You know?
And yes. But even when you talk of European is another long expression of Africa. You know, it's you know, so it's almost like there needs to be that recognition as part of everybody, so that there could be that resolution. You know what I mean? Because there needs to be a certain resolution for humanity in terms of all of us, our vision of where we're going.
Right.
Or else we ain't going to survive.
Right.
We ain't going to survive playing each other against the middle. You know, everybody's, you know, there's, you know, because right now, if you look around, you know, we've had the highest expression of material evolution that you can imagine. We've gone to the moon. You know, we've gone to places, we've gone under the water, we've developed sonar, we've split the atom, you know what I mean? We've developed the internet, but we can't get along with each other. The most fundamental thing of being human, we've developed the without, we are developing the within.
Yeah.
So that's where we need to kind of, the fundamental thing is that we got to go to the roots, because until you know the beginning, you shall not know the future.
Yeah.
You know, so we need that beginning.
It is a good point to make too, and I, my own personal belief, and it's part of what drives me in doing this, is that, you know, my ancestry may be further back in getting connected to Africa than those who are my darker skinned brothers.
Yes,
but we are all one family.
Yes,
and I think really it's an expression of the sickness that we have in the world today, that Africa, which is the home continent for all of us, is the one that has been the most raped and exploited, and is the one that is the most forgotten and least talked of in many.
Well, that's why the world is in such turmoil, because once your beginning is not clear, you have no place to plug your socket to.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the early vibe and you're not drawing your strength from your origins, it's like a tree with strong branches without a strong root, or with no roots. And that's what we are. The branches are strong and developed, and the trunk is the same, but the roots are not strong.
Yeah.
And that's where the roots need to be strengthened, so the branches can all spread themselves to the corners of the earth.
It's like the guy who goes to the gym and only works out his upper body. He's got these little toothpick legs.
Well, you know, one day he's going to crumble and crash the lower body, you know?
Okay, well, the next song that we're going to hear is Africa for Learning. What can you tell us about this before we play it?
Africa for Learn, you know, it's a fusion of Sitchi High Life, Afro, and then reggae music. And Africa for Learn really explores the problem of border crossing. It came out from an experience that I had when I was traveling to Lagos. And I had to cross a French-speaking country, Togo, another French-speaking country, Benin, mm-hmm. and before I got to Nigeria. And this is like a two-hour journey. Probably, if with good highways, it's probably less than that. But it will take you eons. And everywhere you go, you have to show, like, your papers. And within the French-speaking African countries, they act like you are in France. And within the English-speaking African countries, they just act like you are in no man's land. You know what I mean? In Nigeria, you know? And so I try to use it as that, you know, something basic like that colonial leftover in terms of thinking, it's hampering our progress. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Africa for Learn is that we need to learn to rethink. You know, we need to really start thinking outside of the box and outside of the box of the parameters that were, shall I say, put together by, you know, certain colonial masters with a certain intention of keeping us within the box. So African for Learn is that we have to break the yoke of colonial mentality and move into, you know, the new, you know, move
the
into
new
the
paradigm.
New, yeah, the new paradigm, the great new wide open. You know what I mean? Of the new Africa that's going to rise out of that.
Okay, right on. Let's go to it.
He be one early morning. Decide say how they travel from Accra go Lagos. I for the pass through Togo. When I reach a flower border, immigration asks for my passport, only papers I get. Ghana identity card. You want hear more?
More.
Make I talk some more?
More.
You want hear more?
More.
Make I talk some more?
More.
I talk and say I'm for hurry up before the night time go reach my way if I. Cross Cotonou, he say like a foreigner, he go fit make him fast fast, I be Ghana man, so he be my money go settle, money for hand and back for ground, before they leave me make I go, I for hurry cross him.
Yeah. Hausa man, no learn to love him friend Yoruba man. If Ashanti man, no learn to love Dagomba man. If for Ivory Coast, they no learn to love each other. For Sierra Leone, they for learn to love each other. If we no learn to love each other.
Africa for Learn from Book of Changes, Rocky Dawuni. Rocky's still here with us in the studio. And, you know, we haven't talked about this, Rocky. You've got a show coming up.
Yes, I got a beautiful concert coming up, you know. So everybody who's listening to this, you know, and, you know, should pass on the word on the 27th of this month. That's Thursday, October 27th. I'll be live and direct with my 12-piece band. You know, which is, it includes horns, turntables, and everything. You know, we take the Afro root sound like to its highest, you know what I mean? And this will be at Zanzibar, that's 1301 Fifth Street in Santa Monica. And the night is Afro Funky. And one of us, you know, and also just to give thanks to, you know, one of the people making this happen is Live Mechanics, you know. Yeah, Live Mechanics Clothing Company, you know, thank you very much for all the sponsorship and making this happen, you know, Yesiah.
So I'm curious to hear that. That's going to be on a Thursday night. So, you know, it's a Thursday before Halloween. You can call in sick on Friday.
Yes, definitely. Halloween, when is Halloween?
Halloween is, it's on the 30th, but I think most people are going to celebrate it, excuse me, either that Friday or Saturday.
Oh, cool. So, you know, I mean, 27th, you can kind of kickstart it, you know.
Exactly.
But it's a Halloween of light. You know what I mean? You bring in the light into the darkness. Yesiah. Yesiah.
Well, we have the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, for the Mexican community, which is to honor the ancestors.
Yesiah. When is that?
That's actually I'm actually working on that. That's happening on that Saturday, right?
Oh,
after,
okay.
On the 29th.
That's a really powerful weekend. Then,
yeah.
You know what
so
I mean?
Maybe you can come on out. It's going to be at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery on Santa Monica Boulevard in Hollywood.
Okay. Yes, I. You know that's you know, we in Africa is also ancestral veneration. You know, because that is, we only live because of the choices of our ancestors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why we have to think of, because once you venerate your ancestors, you also feel like, what is your responsibility for the coming generation? You know what I mean? You have to be a worthy custodian so that past future generations can come and sing your praises for guaranteeing their survival. And that's word to all of us.
Yeah. And it's for me too, it's a matter of having my ears and my heart open to hear, you know, those voices from the past who have given us the wisdom that we need to guide us through.
Beautiful.
Through the difficult times.
And also, you know, other people listening to, you know, who are, you know, want to get some of my music too, they can go on my website, you know, which is rockydawuni.com, which is rockydawuni.com, you know, and support the revolution. Or else, you know, 27th, come in your numbers, because it's going to be one of the hardest hitting progressive music nights that is happening in LA. Catch the revolution before the revolution, it's televised.
Well, you got such a lush sound on the album. I'm really looking forward to hearing how it all comes together in a live show.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And Jeremy's going to be there that night too,
of
right?
Of course, yeah. Jeremy is part of the Afrofunky family, you know what I mean? So he's going to be, this show is actually at Zanzibar, but it's at Afrofunky, you know what I mean?
And I can't say enough praises for Jeremy.
Yeah,
I love what
Jeremy
he does.
Soul, it's, you know, he is the spirit, you know, and he brings, you know, such an incredible wealth, you know, to the spirit of Afrofunky, and has been very instrumental in building this night that has become such an indelible cultural yardstick of Los Angeles club, you know, nightclub life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm very, very honored to be, you know, have the opportunity of, you know, me and him starting the journey of bringing Afrofunky into Los Angeles, you know. So we look forward to, you know, 27th.
Yes, okay. I will definitely be out there. We've got enough time for one last song. The last one that we're going to hear is Afro Roots Vibration. And this is actually one that I've played here at the station. This one, as well as Wake the Town, I've been playing both of them. Can you give me a little bit of background on this song and how it came together?
Yeah, Afro Roots Vibration actually came when we were in the studio, me and Ronnie McQueen, the bassist from Steel Pulse, and then Manasi Tene, drummer from Spearhead. You know, we were working on the tracks for the album, and then, you know, we're just like, okay, the new sound, we're calling it Afro Roots. So there has to be some song that basically talks about it. So we're just talking, and then the drummer started off, the bassist joined in, and, you know, Afro Roots came in. Afro Roots basically is celebrating the rebirth of a sound that was steeped in culture and spirituality that has happened in so many incarnations during so many different times.
Yeah.
But then it's been interpreted by people who have their eyes on a world that is, you know, moving into a future that is based on justice and equality in terms of rhythm and spirituality and political, you know, and politically for every member of the human society.
That sounds like a good note to go out on.
Yes, I am. You know, so this is Afro Roots Vibration, the beginning of the revolution. Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go.
Control African radio. We know we we shall be saved. Our culture be our power. So let we go back, then go carry our forefathers the music. So we go take highlight music, then we go on reggae music. We go take Afrobeat. Now so when we go they do
Afro Roots Vibration, Rocky Dawuni. Thank you again, Rocky, for coming down here today.
Thank you very much. It was a very beautiful conversation. You know,
you brought a lot of good energy in here.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me on your show, too. You know, respect.
And I got to tell everybody again, the 27th out at Zanzibar, Afro Funky, Rocky will be performing with his full band, so you don't want to miss that.
So come one, come all, and make sure you bring all your friends. Spread the word. You know, it's about creating that community that makes changes. You know, and as everybody knows that we definitely need changes in the world right now. Respect.
And again, where can they find you on the internet?
It's www.rockydawuni.com, and Rocky Dawuni is rockydawuni.com.
Okay, I'm also, anybody who is linked up to me on MySpace, I will also be posting it there on my page for MySpace. If you want to go look for it, you can look for it. I should have it up tomorrow. And again, we will be available for podcast on radioforall.net. That's RADIO, the number 4, all, ALL, dot net. So, but also, here on Kill Radio, DJ David Bonobo, thank you again for listening. Come back next Sunday from 5 to 6:30. As always, the best in rare species and endangered grooves.
Caballeros que... boys in a place to be breaking, rocking echo. PNB the nation that was already set, go. Let it be said, do with the dreaders from the West Coast. Linoleum what? My homies killer like asbestos. Yeah, I'm about to clean a set of grimies. Hold the mic and with the same hand do 1990s. Keep the radio trying. Don't stop, you know it's real. Being almost like a bunch, so I do stunts when I windmill. And if you pose, you a faker. Peace to Rocksteady and the LA City Breakers. Replace electrolytes with a shot of Super Socko. Nobody ever tick like my homie Poppin' Taco. Or my Uncle Pablo, still pop on occasions. This is dedicated to the blacks, whites, and Asians. And my Latinos, and my Bambinos. Refuse to be waxed, spit on me back for a Sino. Come on. Trying to take you there, so say yeah. Yeah, yeah, today is the day, ain't it? Let your soul soar free above this world, ain't it? I dream a dream, the sun, it seems faded. Well, it don't even matter what color your skin painted. I windmilled and wells until I fainted. Before the record sales prevailed, we were